Good morning. My name is Mark Lawrence. I'm with Microsoft IT. I am a principal program manager at Microsoft, and this session we will talk about how Microsoft IT deployed Windows 8 and Windows 8.1 inside our company. I have an active role in that deployment. I am part of the client and site experience team responsible for developing software images for installation on our computers that our employees use, as well as selecting devices for qualification and evaluating new scenarios with Windows and Windows 8.1, features like auto-trigger VPN or work folders or registration, also known as join. So I'm involved in these technologies, but today I want to focus on the methods we use to deploy Windows 8 as a standard process using tools and solutions that enterprise customers may use as well. First, I will talk a little about Microsoft IT as an enterprise customer ourselves, the scope of our audience and deployments. I'll talk about how we developed our practice of developing an operating system image and the tools that we use for that, including the task sequence we use to install productivity applications. I'll talk a little about the actual install experience. Now, I'll demonstrate the install experience while we're here live. I will then show some information about how we use System Center Configuration Manager and what we did with System Center Configuration Manager 2012R2 to begin our in-place update for Windows 8.1. And I'll share a little of the lessons we have learned over time with managing images, images that we started on a every 4 months update cycle, every quarter. We've changed that now to be a nearly a monthly cycle to capture all the information that new OEM drivers and updates and fixes need to be brought to the image process. But first, let's talk about Microsoft IT. These numbers are perhaps from a few months ago, and you might see some small changes, but we're an enterprise customer. We have over 311,000 System Center managed devices. There are more devices than just the full domain managed devices. We also use the combined System Center and Intune single management pane or console to manage these devices that do not join the Active Directory domain, things like Windows RT or my Windows Phone, to provide some business experiences on these devices as well. But I'm going to focus right now on the managed systems that we prepare the operating system image for. When you think about the environment that we have over 2 million remote connections per month. And that has played a significant consideration in the way that we do our operating system deployments. These are users that may never come to a Microsoft office, and they still need to be able to install the Microsoft business image. One key factor is many of these users now have direct access, or they may have traditional VPN using a virtual smart card. So I have great confidence on how they are connected and their identity. We have a lot of social apps, and this played an important part in how we began our installation education for the users, how to give them information, not just email communications, but when they had questions and they didn't feel comfortable contacting the help desk, but asking peers question about how long does it take to install? Will I lose my data? Is it safe? Giving them a social forum made a big difference, like Yammer. If you look at the scope of our data centers, we are regionally deployed, and yet we have many, many branch offices that we have to get the image and installation resources well distributed in a very timely fashion. I'll speak to that a bit. If you look at our directory infrastructure, we have multiple Active Directory forests, one primary corporate forest, and inside that corporate forest, eight generally regional domain, child domains, such as Europe, North America, Far East, and on. So I have to consider the way that the tools and the identities, and even the way users join the domain, the information that they have makes sense for their region. One way to understand the users was to understand a user profile. Defining this profile helped us make some assessment as to where we needed to make an investment into the deployment infrastructure. Considering the number of user sessions and the number of resources and connectivity to networks that they had, we really have just two profiles. One profile is the corporate connected user. I'll call her Senora Good Bandwidth. She's at a Microsoft office, and she has a direct connection to the corporate network. This makes installation over the network very straightforward. No special considerations until we get to the UEFI, BIOS, and Secure Boot, but that comes later. Installation process, we use the Windows Deployment Service, or we might use OS deployment from System Center Configuration Manager. Some users still prefer to make their own local installation media, burn the DVD. Well, that's the old days, they want to make USBs now, but we'll talk to that. The second profile is the mobile user, and we have some different classes about these mobile users. For example, we have the user at a branch office, lower bandwidth, but good connectivity, reliable connection, mostly mobile devices in this situation. We have a set of users that are at an internet-connected office, but this is typically a tunnel type of connection. It may, in fact, be a connection that is available frequently, but not 100% reliable, but usually good connectivity, still able to do some networking installation, but probably most likely downloading the image for a local install. Then we have the, well, we'll call her Senora Starbucks, the one that does the Starbucks office connection for work, the one that's always mobile, very much the mobile warrior, not working from an office, not assured in connectivity. If I only had a cloud solution to help her do the installation, that would take care of her needs. This is something we thought about, but let me take you on the journey. First, in developing our corporate images, at least where I became involved, I'll tell you about our history with Windows 7 and our business image. We did want to advise the users about compatibility. The applications inside the company, would they be compatible with Windows 7? My hardware that I had purchased, which I have to stay with for the next 3 years, would it be compatible with Windows 7? If you remember Vista, actually a lot was compatible with Windows 7, maybe even more so. But what about my data and my files? Give me a USB, I'll back them up first because I don't trust that Windows backup. Or maybe I could get the cable, the special cable, plug it in, I could use Windows Easy Transfer. And of course, that's not anymore with Windows 8, but users were having to do a lot of work. We weren't able to give them the assured experience we wanted. Many of the users were using a network-based installation, again, at the corporate office, but we didn't have great resources for the remote user. We had an installation image that took 2 DVDs to express the entire image. That wasn't great for that remote user as a download, especially giving up and breaking the DVD. And doing remote domain join, since the installation process usually worked, but didn't always, became a real help desk support issue. Do the domain join. All right, let's make a VPN tunnel connection. Now let's express your identity. Whoop, you didn't log in with a domain local account. Start again. Now we'll get you, with a machine local account. Let's get a machine local account login. Now let's do the VPN connection. Now let's join the domain. Oops, you disconnected. You didn't make your domain user the local administrator. Now we have a problem in getting profile and information down. Difficult, difficult, difficult. By the way, I know some shortcuts for that, but we'll talk about that. So we wanted to improve upon this experience. We were very successful, Believe me, many of our users wanted to go from Vista to Windows 7 just as your users did. So we had three real strong goals for our Windows 8 deployment. We wanted to make a solid, repeatable framework that we could take forward beyond Windows 8 onto Windows 8.1 as we know it now, and even Windows Next. We were going to address those deployment issues, those pains our users felt with Windows 7. And we wanted to use tools and solutions that enterprise customers could use today. We wanted to make an installation model to form some best practices. There were three primary segments of the user experience we would deliver. We would deliver compatibility information right up front. We would make sure that users' data was safe, no lost data in the migration. And we would provide education up front in new ways to users, ways they had not seen before that would be interesting, not just another email message and another email message. This user experience drove us to think about not only how we would provide the image, but what components we would put into the image. So for example, we wanted to make sure that we used OSD, Operating System Deployment with System Center Configuration Manager. That was a key requirement. But I do have some test labs inside Microsoft. And in these places, I don't have a 100% coverage of System Center Configuration Manager. They're test labs. Sometimes they're testing isolated constructions. So I have Windows Deployment Services. Then I have those remote users, and it's very clear. They would like to make a bootable USB device, plug that in, and begin their installation, and then use that for the next machine, and use that for the next machine. Now that cloud installation solution that I would like to offer, that became very realistic for us with Windows 8 timeframe. All of this leading to the building of a factory image, that which I could give to the OEM. And when any time a Microsoft person ordered their new Microsoft PC, they would get the factory image already installed. They would finish it, what we call the specialization, put in the information about their machine name choice and their user identity, but it would be the same image they had got from OSD, WDS, or a USB install. So we chose the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, or MDT, solution to build our image. In the past, we had used some interesting components out of the deployment toolkit and built some custom code and scripting. Not this time. We still did a lot of scripting. You get to do that with MDT, but it's in-box and it's the way you configure for your business. We created our base Windows image file, or WIM, which for us included the required boot drivers to have network connection, display, as well as the applications we wanted to preload for the user. Some patches that we knew were necessary to some of the components that had been released for Windows 8 at the time. We wanted to have Microsoft Office available to our users. So we put that into our base image. That, of course, causes the image to grow, but this was the trade-off of smaller image or very production-oriented at launch. And we wanted to make sure that core service applications such as smart card management tools were available to our users. All of this really drives through MDT, or even the standard OSD, modifications to the unattend file that comes with the Windows and is part of the base image. We still had some optional functions we needed to configure. For example, we had a goal for our machines to be BitLocker encrypted once they were installed. We wanted that drive to protect it so that if that machine was lost, I don't mean put in the closet and forgotten, I mean someone stole the machine. Intellectual property and access to the corporate network was protected through BitLocker encryption. So during the provisioning process, encrypt the drive and store the recovery password, sometimes called the recovery key, into Active Directory. That had to happen. We needed to make sure that our approved driver's payload was available. there can be lots of different driver versions available, and some may not be the appropriately tested drivers for my devices that we use in the corporation. And we wanted to handle that in-place data migration. Remember, this is an operating system installation on an existing system. Users have data. I want to give them a chance to back it up, but I also want to give them a chance to install in place and have that data available when they're done. So this is the model that we chose. And choosing the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, we got the structure and resources that we needed. For example, we were able to specify application executables such as setup.exe and other tools necessary to pull an application and launch that as part of a task sequence item. We were able to modify through the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, very similar if you're doing OSD modification inside of System Center Configuration Manager, modify the control files or XML language files that would define what we wanted to include: printer information, drivers, language selection, and make that work as we intended, but give the users some flexibility. We could include some additional scripting if necessary to configure some special settings or to adjust the unattend.xml file, such as modifications to drive the BitLocker encryption work. What if the disk was already encrypted and now I'm modifying the operating system? Probably a good idea for me to suspend first. Task sequence engine. This way I could structure not only the base image application, but I could then add those components and functions afterwards. So what does that mean? The workflow really starts in the pre-install phase. So if I want to do a pre-install work, the first thing I'm going to do is do that state capture. This is a system that's going to migrate. I will retain the identity of the system, but not the data. That's what migration is about. It's about destroying and rebuilding. But I want to keep that user's data, so let me state capture the information. Now I'm going to go into the install phase. I'm going to apply my image, the image that is the corporate image, and I'm going to give some interface options here. For example, I may want to drive some specific drivers from my driver payload, or I may want to respect the user's desire for a specific language, and so I'll drive that by injecting language pack information into unattend. Now, the installation following the sequencing and scripts inside of the MDT structure through a light touch interface, we use light touch installation. There's also zero touch if you want to just tell users click and go. Now we specialize the machine. You know what that is. It gets an identity. It gets some information about what it is, like joining the domain and becoming a security principal, or joining to an existing account if that user's context, that user has access and has the right permissions to join to an existing domain account. Now I can begin the state restore phase and run some of the task information, the task sequence items. For example, I might have hotkeys from the OEM specific to my Lenovo or HP or other device. Now that I recognize the hardware, I can inject those correct OEM packages, which probably have an executable, so they need to run after the image installed, not during or from the base image. And now I can also set up some additional applications. I'll explain. We wanted Office to be part of the base image, but we changed later to use the Office click to run. That didn't work as part of the base image. It needed to be launched as a task sequence item after base image was installed. And then, of course, that state that I captured in the beginning, now I want to bring that back, and I want to put the user's data, the user's setting, the user's context information back onto the system. It's their system. All of this working, what does that mean? Let me give you a little example. In this case, I have some work I have to do. Part of it is driven by Microsoft IT. We want to ensure that we respect the user's requirement for a specific language is set as part of the installation. So we write the XML code and handle that as part of the sequence above for the install phase. Now, this just modifies, again, the unattend.xml and related scripts. Separately, we can identify some of the plug-and-play IDP and PID sequences and recognize certain devices. We can then control the driver versions we want present for that user's experience. Later, if the new drivers are released, they can obtain those drivers as part of our patching infrastructure or by going to Windows Update. All of this essentially put into the sequence modifies unattend.xml and forces the apply. Now I have an image. Now I have to get it to people. The way we do this is through a replication process that, as you can see, scales out to primary servers and from there to our highly virtualized branch office servers. But what I want to explain is how we did this. We realized over time that copying many, many gigabytes of data as a single image file sometimes failed and certainly maxed out the network bandwidth during that copy. We weren't being as successful in timely distributions of the image. So, to use a term, we chunked it, broke it into much smaller pieces, and replicated the much smaller pieces. Sounds terribly simple. It is terribly simple. Now we could manage the flow of the image to the destinations, but more importantly, we weren't killing the bandwidth, and if I failed on one chunk, I just replicate the one chunk. I don't go 4 gigabyte, 5 gigabyte, 6 gigabyte, check some failure, start again. Simple process, works sensibly. Standard distribution. This is what we use to get out to over 200 sites, get the image timely within a few days. We have some tail sites that take a little while, but let me explain. With Windows 7, we actually never replicated to all the tail sites. With Windows 8, we were done in 72 hours, actually a little before that. Well, I've talked a lot. Let me show you the experiences we're talking about. I'm going to show you two demo experiences. The first one is really the interface we developed inside of Microsoft, which we gave to our users to give them a solid experience. If you saw the keynote this morning, you might have seen an icon on the desktop that Louisa had, which was IT Easy Installer. Now, this is an internal experience, but we have released it through Microsoft Consulting Services for engagements. But value of this is the experience we wanted to give to users. It's not required. The next piece of that is straight out of the MDT installation that could be used with OSD, WDS, or a USB install, even an Azure download. So let's break out of this presentation for a second. And I have a copy of IT Easy Installer already launched. Now, I'm doing a demo here, folks, so a few of the things are not currently connected. I'm not on a network connection to the corporate network. I'm also not talking to the cloud. If you notice in the taskbar, the little airplane tells me I'm in airplane mode. Nothing exciting about that. I'm just explaining up front. I'll even tell you how I'm doing this demo. I'm using a Windows to Go device. Now, that's a little different. I'm using that because my actual system is a system that I use for testing some of these new choose-your-own-device, bring-your-own-device scenarios with Windows 8.1. Very specifically, I'm testing work folders and I'm testing auto-trigger VPN. These are scenarios that may or may not work well with domain join systems. For example, auto-trigger VPN is not designed for that. So I want to keep my system, my non-domain join, my consumer system, isolated for the scenario. If I domain joined it to do the demonstration of migration, then I would break the other testing that I'm doing. That's why Windows to Go is so great. I can keep my non-domain join system. My hard drive is not touched. I then take my Windows to Go system, plug it in, join it to the domain, add the VPN software, or in my case, direct access, I can do all the download and connectivity on the Windows to Go device, and then I just unplug it when I'm done and I'm right back to my system. Works fantastic. We can talk about that a little bit. But here is the interface of IT Easy Installer. Let me actually go back a screen. Two primary concepts here. Start your installation, or we've given you some extra features. Let's talk about those. That was the screen we were just on. I mentioned we wanted to make a bootable installation CD for you, bootable installation USB for our users. The difference is you don't have to download the ISO file. Through the process, we'll give you the Microsoft IT image, which is an ISO file. But you don't have to download it and mount it. And if you're on Windows 7, that might have been a real interesting experience. I'll give you what you want. I'll let you specify the language and additional applications you might want to download. I'll give you the architecture choice that you want. And then I'll let you choose devices connected to your system. And we'll hit create, and your image begins. If you're remote, because we support connections over VPN, over direct access, or if you were completely remote but internet connected and could talk to Azure, all of these methods could be used to produce this USB media. Heading back one, we also included some additional features for our users, such as provisioning a Windows to Go device. Now, I won't use that one today, and that may produce some interesting results. We allowed users to create an enhanced data mover scenario, essentially giving them a short duration file store backup of their data in case they were in a scenario where they were going to destroy this machine, recycle it, done, and move to a new machine. And so they would need to store data not for local migration, up to a location, not true cloud. We keep it in the data center for now, at least at that time we did, and then pull it back down to the new machine. And we would hold it for 72 hours, and we were actually a little more tolerant. We'd leave it there for a few extra days, and then we would delete it. Now, if you are creating a system and doing migration, you may redo or modify the partitioning information of the hard drive. OEMs tend to encode a recovery partition. You may destroy it. In this case, you might want to help users by creating a recovery image on their system after migration. So this was an option we provided with IT Easy Installer. But let's go into the start screen. What did I say was one of the first experiences we wanted to give users? Information about compatibility, software compatibility for both production applications, off-the-shelf applications, as well as line-of-business applications, and information about hardware compatibility. As you see, it ran the first two checks. Using online resources from Microsoft.com, we can get some of that information about compatibility. As you see, it's told me, take a look at your hardware compatibility, Mark. Let's have a look at that. Good. It's told me that my hardware meets the Windows 8 minimum requirements. Very easy check. Ah, but there's a notification about using Microsoft IT standard hardware. Let's see what it had to say. It's recognized my Samsung machine. Great. It says it has been tested. It's told me that my TPM chip is both present, that's good, and activated. That's better, because now the BitLocker encryption can work. It has a place to store the TPM protector to unlock this when I boot. Moving back one. Now, the line of business application was a simple lookup database that we had internally. As we tested compatibility for the new Internet Explorer that arrived with Windows 8, and of course, I should say the two new Internet Explorers that arrived with Windows 8, the immersive store style modern IE, and the desktop IE10. So in this case, we provided compatibility results that we had conducted for first our set of business critical applications, things like managing your review and performance analysis and performance assessment, your paycheck, your business orders, as well as other applications that local offices may have developed to have conversations with customers. For the moment, I'm going to move on to the next screen, which is, how would you like to do this migration? Shall we migrate your data and your settings? Or migrate just the data, you can start new settings. Maybe we'll give you that backup option that we mentioned. Or maybe you really don't want to migrate anything. You do want to wipe and load on this machine. Well, for the moment, I'm going to take the default, the recommended solution, which is, hey, we take your data for you. Some commentary here, but I'm going to click the continue button. You'll notice now what's happened. I can't select 32-bit because I'm migrating. Some of the information in the settings are on a 64-bit OS this time and need to be on a destination 64-bit OS. So I've locked it to the architecture, just a user convenience. Now I can take this information forward. Again, I mentioned I'm not connected right now, and this is actually my other work machine. So rather than click on the install, what would do is I'll tell you what would happen, then I'll show you the MDT sequence. Now that I've asked the user some basic information up front, I would be opening a Pixieboot channel, not restarting the machine, but opening a live channel, and I would be going in and launching the LightTouch installation. I'll use the USB. I've actually got two USBs connected here, my Windows to Go device driving the demo and the bootable USB installation tool that I made previous to coming here. So now I'm launching the USB installation experience. And this really is just going down, finding a scripts folder on the device, and launching LightTouch Start. I can show you that in a moment. First thing that I come and tell the users is an advertisement. But it's a legal advertisement. It's a reminder because I had the opportunity. Hey, users, we've got this great resource called SkyDrive. Wonderful place for your vacation photographs and maybe some email that you send to your mom. Not the place to put your business data. Use SkyDrive Pro. Use your Office 365 structure. Why did I put it here? Because I'm in front of all the users' eyes, and as many email messages as an IT group might send to them, they don't look. But here they're doing a migration. You bet they're watching this one. Okay, advertisement over. You'll see the task sequence here on the left-hand side that we're going to be going through. I want to be very clear. You can suppress these screens. I've left them here as part of the demo so we can talk through them. You can turn these off if you don't need the users to answer the questions. Now, what's the first thing we see on this screen, which is a pre-flight check? What's the configuration of the situation here? Is my TPM chip okay? Yeah, we checked that earlier. Do I have the power plugged in? Yeah, that's good. What's all this partition stuff? Well, remember, I'm cheating with my demo. I'm actually talking about reformatting a Windows to Go device, but not using the model for that. For the moment, let's not worry about that partitioning. That's just something I'm cheating with. But let's move on. I'm going to tell it, yep, I realize I'm about to destroy the device I'm using for my demo. I may not go quite that far. Now we come up with my installation options. For this moment, I'm going to go ahead and choose what has already been selected, which was the 64-bit OS. We talked about that earlier. In this case, I'm including the Office Click to Run installation as well. The next screen presents the domain selection option. Well, let's face it, at Microsoft, we have a lot of users that run as local administrator, and we give them the permission to join machines to our business domain. In this case, I'm not connected to anything, so there ain't nobody that's going to validate my credentials. In this case, I may just have to do a workgroup installation. Otherwise, I would normally put my, some of this information would have already been present. The actual machine name that I'm using, which is shown, the domain that it may have been joined to, and then I would confirm my password here. And then it can do a very simple AD lookup to validate the information and to make sure that I have the rights to rejoin to this computer account in Active Directory as part of the migration. Okay. Put in some basic information, and we allowed the users to rename their system. In this case, I can make some decisions about repartitioning. Default, 100% simple migration. This OS goes to this drive. But if I was thinking about experimenting with some of the newer functions that are great with Windows 8, like Client Hyper-V, I may want to reserve some unused disk space. For now, let's go ahead and go with default. Here's where I start to capture some of that user preference, such as which language pack of the default languages would you like? No problem. We'll go past this one. Some information here about keyboard and other input options. I'm going to stay with what I've got currently set. Very important phase. When you are doing an unattended install, you're using the SCCM, you're typically creating the administrator account and running in system context. You may need to set the password for administrator so it's unique, not a common to all systems password. To do that, I'm going to have the user specify it. I'll go ahead and specify one. And I'll do my confirm. And now that it's done a bit check and seeing that the original and the secondary have matched, it says, cool, type one letter too many? Nope, doesn't match anymore. I'm not going to proceed. You're going to know that password, my friends, before I let you proceed. Let's go ahead. And I'm ready to begin my installation from my USB source. If I wanted to give the user a quick view of all that's going to happen, it's here. I can use that same set of information at the end for post-install reporting. How did this install work? How did this go? Again, where are all these files coming from? They're coming from this scripts folder that the MDT image created and essentially running the light touch script. I'm getting combinations of both Visual Basic scripts and a series of XML files. And all of these combine to define the experience. We manage all of this with a Visual Studio implementation, Team Foundation Services. Check code out, check code in. If you're building a new image every month, you need a management system, without question. And that launches the installation experience. Some points that I want to summarize on this. A reminder, the IT Easy Installer is something we have released to Microsoft Consulting Services, should that be of interest. That's an experience we wanted to present our users. You might want to stay with the standard resources that are available online for you to use today, such as the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit. We use it. We use a Light Touch install. Download that solution accelerator today. You might want to use User State Migration tool to take that user's data and have it back onto the migrated system. You might want to go ahead and do some additional resources and ways to define them. MDT and OSD will give you that solution structure. Now that I've told you about how we got to Windows 8, and we got to some 90,000 systems with Windows 8 inside the corporation, let me tell you about our System Center Configuration Manager infrastructure. This becomes very important to how we've migrated to Windows 8.1. Wait, I said migrated. I meant update. Upgrade in place. Let's talk about that. First, System Center Configuration Manager deployed at Microsoft is a unified management infrastructure. What I mean, System Center Configuration Manager 2012R2 with standard structure of distribution points and interim site servers allows me to have a global deployment system for domain join full managed machines. But I also have these devices that I mentioned earlier, things like RT systems, or are those other iOS kind of systems, or things like Windows Phone or those Android kind of phones. I need a way of working with these in the business. I know it's kind of tough. I look over and the nice Apple machine is over here in the corner for a Microsoft presentation. It's cool. We love them. Yeah, it's all right. We sell software for them. Anyway, I have to think about the business environment. I have to think about managing these devices. These devices play a role. We span that with our unified device management story. Our infrastructure, fairly complex with 250 distribution points. When I say complex, actually, we reduced a number of the secondary sites when we moved from System Center Configuration Manager 2007 to 2012. We could scale much more effectively, and with role-based access control, we were able to remove some infrastructure we had built for just patching, which was really something we do already with Windows Server Update Services, or WSUS. All of the primary machines, the full managed machines at Microsoft, use WSUS. Now, I have those test labs, and those test labs may not be managed through System Center Configuration Manager, in which case, if you've had Windows 8, you've already experienced it. Click on Express Settings, you're going to Windows Update, my friends. And you're going through automatic maintenance every day to Windows Update, my friends. That's all right. Those machines are being patched and maintained. You can actually set that value with group policy if you wish. With this infrastructure, I knew that I had a reliable distribution method for applications. Interestingly enough, I now have with Windows 8.1 an opportunity to do push and pull of the operating system update like it's an application. This is great. It's great because it gives me the opportunity to encourage users to move. I don't have to do the massive force of getting everyone migrated. I have to just advertise it. In this case, I have System Center 2012 R2, but as you can see, System Center 2012 with the right cumulative update pack would be a solution. I still have my push installation option. I can still push the package to the client system. It will cache, have the advertisement until I set a mandatory date, and then install, whether the user likes it or not. It's so much nicer to send communications, to send reminders. You can migrate on your terms. And with Migrate, you don't have to worry about data loss, application issues, or any problems about your settings. I'll show you what I mean. I can still use the push installation when I get that corporate mandate, and the Microsoft people in the room know, end of year, we're all going to be on 8.1. I can still use that method to distribute my update. And by the way, we're still using Microsoft IT Easy Installer, because all the people that did try out Windows Preview need to be migrated. That's the cost. So let me talk about how we get there. Click, click, done. Not like this morning, click, clack, close. Click, click, done. This is the experience we wanted for our users to go from Windows 8 to Windows 8.1. I'm not making it up. We told our product feature teams, we told the Windows team, two clicks, that's enough for any decision. Our installations in the past, and I'm going to mention that application context again. For people with the gray hair like me, we've been at Microsoft for a little while, we remember the time when we had to go to the product share and open a folder and open another folder. Oops, wrong one. Start again. Open a folder and open this folder and find the application that we wanted and install that software onto our system. Very, very confusing when we're looking for line of business applications or even third-party applications. We use some third-party applications inside Microsoft. So over time, we built a web front end. Now I can click to expand a tree, find the right folder, or do a search. That is an improvement. And it turned out with the line of business applications, many of these inside Microsoft migrated to be web apps, so much more discoverable. I didn't have to distribute them as well. Although we do use, for the standard applications and the file share, distributed file services, directory file services, DDFS, if you like. So today, what we have is this new concept. We got this with System Center Configuration Manager, the sense of an application's catalog. And as I was reminded in a rehearsal yesterday, there are so many applications catalogs and company hubs. Yes, I know, if you are familiar with doing devices like this and you're using Intune services, you've seen the company portal. If you've done something internal, you might be using Software Center. We have one that is like Software Center called GetApps. It's essentially the application catalog for the business or company hub. You will see some conversions on this over time. but is this the interface to get a unified device management and application store for your systems. So let's talk about using an application installation method to allow the OS to update. And I'm using that term update, but I mean upgrade in place. But it is not a service pack. This is a fairly substantial change between Windows 8 and Windows 8.1, many improvements. The way it launches is the package is SCCM delivered, and it throws these switches. Auto upgrade, no user intervention. Remember, click, click, and done. No auto exit. If an error occurs, hold on that screen, send notification to the user, let the user get help. And perform DU, perform dynamic update. We've chosen to add this switch in your businesses. You may choose not to if you don't allow the users to directly contact Windows Update or Microsoft Update if you use a solution for patch management. I mentioned some of our systems inside Microsoft are WSUS configured. You can still use Perform DU and it will consult the appropriate patching service as configured. We found one challenge, and I expect this to be addressed in time. One challenge is something that happens during UBI, sorry, that's out-of-box experience. What we call that process, you've seen it. We install Windows 8, you wait a few seconds, and then you see, hi, I'm getting your system ready. Pick a color, pick a machine name, out-of-box experience. What we found is that some of the store apps, if we used this process for auto-upgrade, were not getting the trigger to update the Windows Store apps. Not line of business apps, but the things that come from the Windows Store. We fixed that during our installation experience, and I expect this to be part of the final release at the general availability time frame, which comes very soon. So what is the experience from a user standpoint? Well, through an applications catalog, the user finds the application they want, if it's advertised, click on it. First, what do we do with any kind of application distribution on a user request? Hey, are you supposed to have this application? Let's do a policy request and see if it applies appropriately. Yes, that makes sense. Great. Let's go ahead and begin the package download. Once it's cached on the system, this is not a streaming install in place, it's going to cache on the system. Be mindful of the duration of time as your image grows. And given on the connection point, if your users are VPN connected and have low bandwidth, buy them dinner. It's going to take some time. But the Windows Startup Setup XE will launch. This is not a very exciting demo if I do this because it will take a good hour, but let's show you what the screens look like. I said click, click, done. Click on the install button, bottom right corner. Click yes to confirm. I would like to move my system with my applications, with my data, with my settings to Windows 8.1. This is the Enterprise OS. I have over here my Windows 8 RT system. You don't use SCCM for this, right? But I have here my Windows 8 Enterprise Edition system. It cannot go to the Windows Store to update to Windows 8.1. You must either pull down installation media and somehow distribute that through a file share, or you must use System Center Configuration Manager to take Windows 8.1 systems and allow for in-place update. Well, that's what we had. That's why I told you about that System Center information structure. Click on install. Click on yes, and then what happens? Well, if you're using an application catalog store, you may not see a whole lot. I pulled a screen here because Software Center is installed. At least it will tell me that the download is in progress. Something that we're learning. You have to give some notification, especially if, again, long duration download over VPN connection. So it's going to do the download. And then the Windows Setup screen is going to kick up. But you'll notice those two buttons on the setup screen are grayed out. They are not available. No more clicking by the user. I'm just going to tell you what's happening. I'm getting some things ready. And then I'm going to install Windows 8.1. Yeah, we still keep the cancel button live because we like users to get halfway along and change their minds, but sometimes they do want to go to dinner. So you have that option still, but they don't have to click on anything. This uses the original Windows operating system WIM. You do not make a custom Windows image for this. It's the standard distribution because the user already has their preferred configuration. You're updating just the operating system. How did this work for us? I'm going to give you the metrics for preview, and then I'm going to bring it up a little bit here to a little more modern time. For Windows 8.1 Enterprise Edition preview, getting to preview 8.1, no forced installation, no push, all user invitation, over 27,000 PCs with email requests, please update in less than 60 days. But that's not the return on investment, this is. Primary support calls at any time at Microsoft are not password reset, like most users think. Please install my system for me because I don't know how to. That's the hard part. Doesn't matter how much education, it doesn't matter how much users are afraid of the install. And we have a series of users who probably get this burden yourself. Here's the machine. I'll be back after a couple hours. Make it done for me. We stopped that. We suppressed the install fares. We stopped the advertisements other than email. Just click and install. It's that simple. And it's worked well. We reduced the support tickets. We reduced overall support, but primarily that support for I need help with installation. My installation didn't work. I can't find my files. It changed the way my screen looks. Over 30%. Let me tell you what that's going to be. I'm going to get close to almost double that number of installs by the general availability date on the 18th of this month. And I'm going to be closer to 40% reduction on help desk costs. That's the return on investment by using this installation OS update, if you can support that in your companies. That's how we got there, but let me tell you some of the things we learned along the way. We've mentioned a couple of these points, and let's explore them for a moment. With data migration and in general with hard drives, users have in many cases already proceeded with installation of encryption software, whether they're using encryption file services or they're using BitLocker in Windows 7 timeframe. Be mindful of that. You're destroying partitioning information possibly on the disk. They may ask you to, not knowing what it means. They may ask you to wipe the drive. They just didn't mean delete anything. Now we have a problem when it's too late and they didn't back up. So if you're in an online state, you may be able to capture information. If you're doing offline installations, think about suggesting to the users caution and backup. Consider the new architecture of hardware. When you're building your image, you might be building for a system that prefers a certain type of structure, such as UEFI, or that had some kind of legacy mode of UEFI that wasn't really UEFI. But Windows 8 is an operating system that loves UEFI and loves secure boot. And you really don't want your users to have this nasty text at the bottom of the screen, what we call a watermark that says, secure boot not configured correctly. And they call the help desk and ask why, because they themselves set up the machine that way. Check for those settings, and we have the pre-flight screen. Warn them if something is not correctly set. Consider, for your line of business applications, when you do your compatibility assessment, consider the way users use your applications. Some of them are standalone installs, and they can be tested. You can do automated testing for that. Some of them you'll need to report twice if they're web-based applications as you're moving to Windows 8 and later operating systems. How they work with the desktop IE, how they work with the modern IT, excuse me, IE. And if you're moving to Windows 8.1, be mindful with with IE 10 and below, there's a nice little document that you can check to say, always run in compatibility mode. that changes with IE11, there is no document. There is no 100% compatibility mode unless you're on the intranet zone or in trusted sites. And some of these things are settings you can control as an administrator, but for your compatibility testing, start early. We found great value. We actually found most things just worked. Our web-based applications just work. And we still have some Silverlight applications and a few with content that don't work very well in the modern experience. Educate your users, report compatibility. And finally, the user education aspect. We reduce some of the help desk calls, I mentioned that. But one of the considerations is you have a set of users that will not call help desk. They'll just struggle. We don't want them to struggle. Use social media. For example, we have a large deployment of Yammer in our company, but there are other forums for this. Even a really active website that has a question and answer forum, a survey for questions, someplace people can post. Peers helping peers. We launched something like that inside of Microsoft, and we called it Pointers. Very similar to any kind of social forum where people could post a question and get it answered and get that validated as the primary answer. Again, similar to answers.microsoft.com. The value, we found some, by monitoring the site, found some early problems with our environment that we weren't aware of. Something as simple as someone deploying a web server that had the download information for the image that they forgot to uncheck the or check the number of concurrent connections. So we announced to 90,000 people, installation resources available, and the web server could handle 1,000, not even 100 users concurrently. We got stuck fast. Who told us? The social network. I'm having problems. If we'd waited for the help desk tickets to bubble up, it could have been a lot longer. We found out in minutes, made a simple correction, and we were scaled out to our users quickly. Would have been better if we deployed the web server right the first way. And don't discount email. Email is still useful. There are going to be a lot of communications this way. And we were successful. I told you that we reduced some of our support costs. And we expect to continue this process as we go forward. We will continue to offer wipe and load installations, a migration through IT Easy Installer. But we're committed inside Microsoft to utilizing update in place from Windows 8 to Windows 8.1 with System Center Configuration Manager. We think it's a win all around. I hope you consider it as well. That's the content I wanted to share with you, but I'm a big believer in sharing some links. If you have a chance after the sessions here at Campus Days, please take a look at the IT Showcase articles online. We will be publishing within this month of October a full business case study of all of the Windows 8 to 8.1 updates, describing our return on investment and describing what we had to do to get ready for bringing our users to Windows 8.1 with IE 11, Internet Explorer 11. Some additional information such as how we did an internal social media network, compatibility testing for line of business applications, some other information about Windows 8 and deployments. These are available, but please visit IT Showcase later this month and you'll find that new business case document. Again, I've got a little bit of time here, I believe, so we'll see how that works, but I'm glad to answer questions, but I want to take you to one more screen, and that is the evaluation screen. You've been fantastic. Thank you very much for the opportunity to share this information with you. I really thank you for letting me share it in English, because that's what works for me. And thank you for your patience. Be sure you have a chance to fill out the evaluations. They are very useful. I'd be glad then, as long as we have time, to answer any questions you might have. I work in the Microsoft client and site experience, so if you have some questions more about how we use the enterprise structure, bring your own device, choose your own device, I'd be glad to answer those questions too. So with that, I'm open for questions. We have a mic, or do we just let them? Great. Any questions? I see one center of the room. Right, go ahead.
Okay.
So, question, if I may see if I can restate that question, capture that. Very difficult in the Windows 8 experience to customize the start screen, get the tiles the way I wanted. Any improvements is the question with Windows 8.1. Some improvements is still essentially the same screen control, which you can do if you're doing image processing for the primary set of applications. Not tons of improvement. Changes between Windows 8 and Windows 8.1 and the way tiles are added after installation, by default, they don't appear as you install new software. So you may actually have a cleaner start screen with the new All Apps view, as we saw in the demo this morning. It's changeable to make that viewable. There are some other changes to the behavior, but generally it's about the same as Windows 8. You have a certain number of apps you can specify in unattend. Other questions? Okay, I will ask you a question. How many have System Center Configuration Manager in their businesses? Many. How many would consider in-place upgrade as opposed to, we'll build you a new system because that we can understand, it's exactly what we intended. Would you go in-place upgrade? Not so sure yet. Do you build the new systems because that's the way we image? We kind of want to go to the upgrade side, but I kind of like to test it first is what I'm seeing here. Yeah, we felt the same way. That's why we began with the preview time frame, and it was all user choice, user opt-in, user pull. And it worked very effectively for us, so I encourage you to consider it. Great. Any other questions? Time for lunch? All right, so looking at the camera, thank you very much. I appreciate you participating in this session. Please do fill out your evaluations. You have been a great audience. Thank you again, and I will be around if there are any other questions later in this day in the Ask Microsoft section of the conference at Campus Days. Thank you again.